grace and peace, everyone. I am Pastor Dave here with Pastor Steve, and welcome to Faith Talk, a worship companion podcast from the West Toledo Parish here in Toledo, Ohio. During our episode today, we will conclude our sermon series looking at Jesus's skills with a focus on healing.
Yeah, today we're in Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 21, which follows right on the heels of last week we talked about the demon-possessed guy in the Gerasenes.
Yes.
Now Jesus crosses back over the waters back to Jewish territory.
Mm-hmm. And there's already a crowd.
There's a crowd gathering. Yep. They've heard all about his stuff when he was there before, probably.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're talking about the synagogue leader Jairus is coming to Jesus, asking him to come and heal his daughter. And then the woman who has been scourged with a flow of blood for years.
Yeah, 12 years.
Yeah. And then that kind of gets sandwiched because then we have Jesus arriving at Jairus' house to raise up his daughter.
Yeah, because on their way.
Was believed it. Yeah.
Yeah, on the way.
He's believed to be.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's believed to be dead.
Yes.
This is the first time we're trying to do this when we're bi-located. We're not in the same room this time.
Yeah, yeah. So you'll have to excuse us. Well, we might be talking over each other and whatnot. But, you know, I had a little medical procedure at the beginning of the week because I'm a pastor, and most pastors do stuff on Mondays because we need to be ready for Sundays. So we're getting out. We apologize to our listeners. We're getting this podcast out to you a little bit late, and we're recording it in a slightly different way. But nonetheless, the power of technology will get us through it.
There you go.
So, yeah, here we are. We have this bracketed story, or this nesting of a story within a story. Both this unnamed woman and this very famous and named man both come into Christ in moments of great faith. But while Jesus is having his interaction with the woman, we get that news that Jairus' daughter had, quote unquote, passed. And then as you had mentioned, when Jesus gets there, everyone's already crying because she's gone. And he's like, hey, what's going on? Why y'all sad for her? She ain't dead. She's sleeping.
Yeah. And both of them, Jesus recognizes their faith.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I know. I know you were preaching over at the Epiphany side. So I was at All Saints this past Sunday. And there was if we look at these stories just from the aspect of healing, you know, they are beautiful. They are wonderful. They are amazing. They give hope, right? This is an example of Christ overcoming death in the case of the young girl. This is Jesus providing wholeness and restoration after years and years of suffering from the nameless woman. And I told everybody at All Saints, I'm like, I don't want to pull you away and detract from the beauty of those stories, because they are beautiful and they're freeing. Yes. And they're wonderful. But there's something else going on here, and healing is really a vehicle for which we get to see the strength that faith brings into our lives, right? Because this is really, yeah, healing is kind of that result, but faith is really the big point here.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the woman's faith, it's not that Jesus has volunteered. It's not that she even asked Jesus.
Yeah.
She just reached out and grabbed him.
It's just like a desperate faith, you know?
Yeah, desperate faith. She reaches out to Jesus, and Jesus heals her and says, your faith has made you well. And for Jairus, it's do not be afraid. Just believe. Only believe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the woman is desperate, reaching out towards Jesus with, she's really tried every other option there is.
Mm-hmm.
And Jairus, you know, he's coming in a time of great turmoil, feeling like they're done. There's nothing left, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So in both those circumstances, it's kind of inviting us to turn to God in faith, to trust in God's power.
Yeah. Even God's ability. In the midst of all of the doubt and uncertainty, right? Because it's one thing I know some of the commentaries kind of called it out. I tried to highlight it a little bit at the All Saints side, but when Jesus walks into the house of Jairus and he sees all the people crying, you know, he comments, he's like, "Why are you so sad? She's not dead, she's just sleeping." And in the face of all of that, everyone's response was laughter, right? They what did they say? I have a different translation with me today.
They ridiculed him, but when he had put them all outside, he took the father and mother.
Yeah, they began to make fun of him, as in Christ, because Christ's like, "She's not dead, she's sleeping." They're like, "Oh, yeah, whatever, bro. No.
Oh, yeah, you're so powerful. You haven't even seen her yet. What do you mean? How do you even know?"
It's like, "You haven't been here, bro. Come on. My little daughter, my oldest daughter, rather, she's picked up a phrase at preschool, which I guess all the little boys are saying. It's bruh.
Bruh.
Yeah. And anytime she gets exacerbated with me, she'll be like, "Come on, bruh." And I'm like,
"But you say that all the time, didn't you?"
I say bro. I say bro, B-R-O. Right? I say bro. They're saying bruh. But I can imagine that's what they're doing here. They're like, "Come on, bruh. Really?
Yeah, really? Right.
She dead. She's not sleeping. She dead."
So you made a good point before we got on here about how fear and faith are alike.
Yeah, and it's what I noticed here in this reading is this: you have this struggle, and you almost have this like seesaw back and forth reaction with faith versus fear. And I heard it. I know I heard it somewhere. I don't remember exactly where, but I heard just the kind of there's a relationship. If you look at what faith and fear represent and symbolize, there's a relationship that I think we often overlook. And if we look at faith, right, faith is the belief in things unseen, right? Our faith is encouraging us and requiring of us to believe in something that hasn't happened yet. Right, we have faith that God's going to do this, and God's going to, you know, fill this, and I'll get through this, and all of that. But when we look at fear, fear wants the exact same thing. Fear wants you to believe in something that hasn't happened yet. They both want the same ultimate goal, and oftentimes, I think we've often kind of mixed fear with our faith, not realizing that. Because they want the same thing, they're exclusory of each other. Like you can't serve both faith and fear.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say, you know, both of them are talking about what is as yet unseen, and it's really a question of are you going to think in a positive manner or in a negative manner?
Yeah,
and I think this happens a lot. When people are dealing with financial stress or whatever, they're saying, "Well, what's the worst possible case scenario?" As if you could prepare yourself for the worst possible case scenario.
Yeah.
And they forget to prepare for, "Well, what if things go right?" I've seen it time and time again. You know, you're so cynical about what may happen or what the future may be, that you're not ready for success.
Yeah.
That's this.
How does that phrase go? You hope for the best, but you prepare for the worst.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It's just,
my experience is you have to prepare for the best too.
Yeah.
Or else when you get there, you're just kind of making it up as you go.
Yeah. I remember when we were in the early planning phases of the Camp Create that we do at the Epiphany campus. I remember Steve Detmer coming into one of the planning sessions and he was challenging everybody there. It's like, you know, don't don't just plan for the amount of kids that we think we're going to have coming to Camp Create. Plan for an overabundance of kids that we didn't even think possible. Like, prepare right. for that. And there's something right. to it. There's something to that.
And there's something to the energy that that brings, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, but there's a lot of people going around with, you know, the sky is going to fall, the sky is going to fall. And mm-hmm. it's just not the way to go at things. Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes when you reach for the stars, you know, end up in the clouds. But the truth is, sometimes when you're planning for success, it can go the other way.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
You can even go more than what you thought possible.
Absolutely.
You know, but you kind of want to be ready for success. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we should look to God with a certain sense of expectancy.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and it's like, you know, when we look at scripture, you know, where do we find evidence of God failing us? We don't.
Yeah.
Why should we assume then that God's going to fail us, that God's going to choose to fail us now when God hasn't?
Well, and God, you might even have success in unexpected ways.
Yeah.
But if you're moving into it with that positive outlook as to what the possibilities of, towards a positive way might be, you're in a better state of mind to even deal with success that comes in different ways. I don't know how to state that, mm-hmm. but.
No,
you know,
no.
Somehow in our culture, though, we've gotten this idea that cynicism is the way to live.
Yeah, I have yet to figure that out as to why. I know when I think it was while I was in seminary, there was a really funny infographic that came out because there was like a string for a while there of like, you know, what is positivity versus negativity versus reality. And, you know, it gives you three cups, all of which are filled halfway. And positivity said, oh, my cup is half full. And the cups are the ones talking. And I remember it came out during COVID. The one cup says, oh, yes, I'm half full. The other cup's like, yep, I'm half empty. And the other cup is just looking at you with worry in its eyes. And it's like, I think I'm full of pee. Right? Because it was appropriate for COVID because I think even though we were finding these golden moments where we could, you know, you had like a little bit of sunshine here and there and some positive things coming out here and there. It's just, we were just, I think all of our attention was focused, not just on like the negative and cynicism, but just this brutal interpretation of reality that it just sucks. Cause it's like, man, it was hard to get out of COVID. It was so difficult.
Yeah. And it's looking at the new possibilities. I mean, you know, I think we said, even the technology we're using right now, we hadn't fooled with it till COVID came along.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and now we're doing hybrid meetings for all sorts of stuff. And I'm about to have a meeting on behalf of, it's not even our synod, it's our region.
Mm-hmm.
The future of the church. Yeah, and it's possible because of this technology that we're all using now, that we can really reach out to people from far distances and meet together without driving for hours and hours or getting on airplanes.
Well, I mean, and to that credit of like God finding ways to, you know, show us success in areas we never even thought. I truly believe that the church found a new way to be the church because of that COVID experience. Like we've changed the way we share the gospel now.
Yeah. Every church is streaming now.
Yeah.
And look what a boost that has been for people who are sick or are homebound. It's allowed them to keep connection with their church and even keep contact with people who they might have done Bible studies with before and all that. Right now, in my Tuesday morning Bible study, Helen is zoomed in every day from Oklahoma because she moved.
That's right. Yeah.
But she keeps contact with her old friends here at Epiphany.
Yep.
You know, so that's awesome.
It is. It is. And that is an example of how God, you know, if we keep our faith and not give in to fear, right? Fear of the unknown, fear of failing, fear of taking steps backwards and all that loss, that we can find not just success, but we can find new ways to thrive. That's like new life.
It's changed, right? Mm-hmm. In order for things to improve, almost always we have to let go of something, and we really don't like to do that. So we really don't like change, but oftentimes change can help things. You know, that's just the way of it.
It is, right? Unless a grain of wheat dies, it can't grow into something new.
Amen.
Right. So
there's a good quote.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, that's what the gospel's all about. And this is what we see here, right? We see a nameless woman, and we see this named, you know, guy from the synagogue taking that step in faith, ignoring their fear up front, and saying, you know, new life can be found here with Christ. I don't know how Christ is going to do it, but I have my prescribed way, right? The woman knew that if she just touches his clothes, that he will heal her. But what I loved about that is that it wasn't the touch, right? Because Jesus calls that out. Jesus says, hey, who touched me? And all the disciples are like, they're like, bruh, we're surrounded by a bunch of people. What do you mean, who touched you? Come on.
I think they said bro.
They probably did, yeah. Well, I'm trying to call my daughter out here. But they're just like, come on, Jesus, are you serious? There's people pressing in. People are always touching you. But there was something different there. It wasn't just the touch. It was her faith. And that's what he called out. And he's like, no. He's like, somebody did something. And then she gives into fear. She flips her own coin over and says, oh, no, I'm scared. I did something wrong. And Jesus is like, no. Let me affirm your faith, because your faith is what made you well. It wasn't touching me. It was your belief.
I don't know if he said it wasn't her touching him, but I can.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that physical touch. I don't know. In my breaking down in the week leading up to it, I kind of look at what Luther says, like, about baptism, right? Because we baptize in water, but what can water do in and of itself? Absolutely nothing, right? It's the faith of the people present, and it's the word of God that transforms water. So that simple touching of his clothes, other people were touching him, but yet his spirit went out to her because her faith is what said, hey, I believe that you can do this. So,
What it kind of says too is that even Jesus can't help somebody who doesn't have faith or trust.
Yeah.
Right. Same thing goes with your doctor. Same thing goes with your therapist. Mm-hmm. Unless you trust and can take some steps that may not be comfortable for you, to get you beyond what your normal patterns are, you know, without trust, you can't get anywhere. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And it's, I know you and I both have preached on it before too. But one thing that they really, really encouraged us in seminary, is anytime you see faith, right? I think you even said that on Sunday, whenever you see faith, replace that word with trust, right? Cause you can flip them back and forth, right? Cause that's what that is. Faith in Christ means you have trust in Christ. Faith in God means you have trust in God.
Yep.
And if we don't trust God, who the heck are we going to trust?
There you go. You know? Who?
Yeah.
I've got one more point to make.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Coming back to my point from last week, you know, we're talking about the secrecy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, Jesus said, when he's talking to the Gentiles, he's like, yeah, go tell people what I said. Notice that this week, Jesus tells them to be quiet again.
Yeah, because he only takes a very select people into that room.
Right? And he says, don't tell anybody what happened here. And he's telling Jews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This supports my theory that Jesus is telling the Gentiles, you guys don't have a preconceived notion. Go ahead. Tell people what you've seen.
Yeah.
But if you're Jewish, I know you got all these other ideas stacked up, and you're going to tell them the wrong thing, man. You're misinterpreting this.
You're going to undermine the ministry right now.
Right.
Yeah,
So this is part
absolutely.
of my case for my secrecy theorem.
You should start writing a book. Because no, but I agree with you on that one. It is, it is that hiddenness, that secrecy that I find so interesting. Because
Yes.
you're just like, ooh, it's not really cloak and dagger, but it's kind of cloak and dagger.
Like, why isn't he letting anybody tell?
But you're right, but
You let the Gentiles tell.
yeah, but then you look at, because I know we've brought this up at like Bible studies at staff, but like you have people of Jesus's own circle, right, that are considered like zealots,
Yeah.
and so it's like, yeah, there's orders, there are guerrilla outfits all around Jesus's ministry that are, I think, looking for Jesus to take that more of a
To
our
light the
earthly
powder
understanding
keg.
of Messiah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Yeah,
it,
yeah.
and I remember when we were doing the when we were looking at when we did the Magi, when I first started seminary, we did the Magi series for Advent. And I remember doing some research and finding a guy who supposedly, again, supposedly, was granted access to some of the Vatican archives. And he found in there a document that supported the idea that the Magi were coming from Persia following these prophecies so that they could entice Jesus to come to Persia to become the next king. That they were looking for a Messiah king to lead a movement back at their home.
Well, that's a new one I never heard
Which I
before,
was
but I.
like stunned by that because I'm like, are you sure? Because I thought they were just coming to worship Jesus, but
Yeah, I
supposedly
don't
this
know that
one
I
thing.
believe. I think it might have been a diplomatic mission,
It
but
could have been,
okay.
yeah, but it just, I don't know, it fits into that. That does kind of fit into this theory that, a lot of people out there, they're looking, we're constantly looking for messiahs to fit the mold that we've prescribed them to fit.
Yeah.
We're not looking to be transformed by the Messiah. We're looking to, disfigure the Messiah to how we want. So I, long story short, I'm jumping on board with your.
You're on board with my
I
theory?
think I'm getting on board with your theory because it makes sense. It absolutely makes sense.
We shall take over biblical scholarship with
Yeah.
our new theory.
And all of our listeners will become our army.
I'm sure somebody's thought of it before, though, so
Maybe, who knows? But
no need for the
yeah, but at
book
the
yet.
end of the day, right, it's still Jesus saying, hey, faith is more important in this than fear.
Yeah.
And I think at least for us in our modern context, not all of us have had a terminal medical condition. Not all of us have lost a child or a loved one in that way, but we have all experienced that battle between fear and faith. And what I challenged congregants at All Saints is to remember that that coin, it's our choice to flip it. And we have the choice to choose to cling to faith or to, choose to justify ourselves through fear. And if we can choose faith, then, our lives, God's not gonna let us down in those moments.
And let's just face it, it's a lot more fun
It really is, right?
that
There is something very liberating about just like saying, "All right, God, I'm just gonna go where you go. Let's go. Let's see what
Let's
happens."
go with it, man. All
Yeah.
right.
So, as difficult as the struggle is, though, just remember that even, right, even if we do choose to flip back over to fear, God doesn't condemn us for that action, but our faith is affirmed, and we always have that opportunity to flip it back.
And God's always saying, don't be afraid.
Don't be
Just
afraid.
believe.
Just believe. Amen. And if that's not what good news, I don't know what else is, right?
Amen. Good
Yeah.
news. Throw out the party hats, man. Here we go.
That. Well, hey, we want to thank all of you so much for spending time with us today here on Faith Talk. We want to thank our podcast composer, Sam Smithberger, and our technical administrator, Jessica Dennis. Now, you can subscribe to Faith Talk wherever you find your podcasts. Just search for Epiphany Lutheran Church and click subscribe. Join us next week as we take a deeper look at Jesus's transfiguration in the Gospel of Mark. We hope you enjoyed your time spent with us here today. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Till next time.